Hey, all you ladies. We are so excited to be in studio today. And I say we because this is the first time that we've had two people in here. Tiffany Velazquez, who is the director of the Women's Ministry, is here with me today because we have a special word of encouragement. And actually, we are hoping that we're able to cast a fresh vision for something we've never really done quite this way before. And it's been on my heart, and I believe, Tiffany, that this has been on the Lord's heart as well.
I agree, Kathy.
I want to start, Tiffany, with a story. Now, I'm going to jog my memory back a number of years to when I was a young Christian, and I can testify to the importance of what we do in our women's ministry here in our harvest groups, because when I was a new believer and I was just a few months old in the Lord, I had totally had a life transformation. I was born again, and I started reading the Bible like I'd never read a book before. I wasn't accustomed to it. I didn't understand everything I was reading, but I knew that this was an important part of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. And so I read my Bible daily, and I was fortunate enough to have a few people around me that were ahead of me on that journey of walking with the Lord. So for about 3 months, from about Easter until June, I was deeply involved with these fellow Christians. I was in God's Word. I was being encouraged. But at the beginning of summer, my folks sent my sister and I away for a summer vacation. And I took my Bible with me, and I continued to read my Bible. It was at times a little challenging and even a little dry for me because I didn't understand everything, didn't have anybody around me. And by the end of the summer, I found myself doing it as a discipline, but lacking a freshness and an application to what I was reading. By the month of September, I was completely dried up spiritually. I was barely reading my Bible. I was struggling deeply in different areas in which I was being tempted. And when September started, and we returned back home, I had lost touch with those people that were there in my life, speaking into my life, iron sharpening iron and helping me walk. And what happened was school started. I was surrounded by old friends. I was already battling temptations. And to be honest with you, I backslid. I fell away from the Lord. All of that I am sharing simply because I know I need accountability. I need support. And I heard this quote the other day, and I thought it was really, really good. It said, "Your life will be impacted by two things, the company you keep and the books that you read." That is a very important statement, and it is so true. The Bible tells us, be not deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now, we quote that to our teenagers, and we would say that to young people all the time, but some of us older saints need to remember, we are being told by Scripture that we, too, can be deceived by the enemy into thinking that the circle of friends and the people that we hang out with and the voices that we listen to have no impact on our lives. What we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 4, 46 through 47, it says this, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily." I think what we need to realize as we are kind of nearing the conclusion of our study in the book of Revelation is that we need to continue on in what it is that we have been doing. It might look a little different and it might take a shape a little differently, but it is so important that we don't throw in the towel as we wrap with the study in the book of Revelation. Just to give you a little background, and Tiffany, your mom would be familiar with this. And what I love about the women's ministry at Harvest is we have had the impact of being in God's Word in community that has reached multiple generations now, up to three generations, your grandmother, your mother, and yourself. And some of us have grandchildren that are old enough to be impacted by the Virtue Bible Study and by our Harvest small group. What we have at Harvest is a DNA that is all about evangelism and discipleship. You know, our mission statement is knowing God and making Him known. And we have a tremendous number of new believers and influx into our church on a regular basis. And discipleship is key in that. And I love the idea, because I'm a woman, I love the word nurture. And that's the word that comes to mind when I think of what we do and the intentionality with which we do it. As a verb, the word nurture means to care for, to encourage the growth and development of someone. And as a noun, it is the process of caring for and encouraging the growth or development of someone or something. What we want to do and continue to do is nurture one another in the way of the Lord. And Tiffany, last year, we realized how desperately we needed those connections of nurturing one another in the Word. And what we saw was so many of our groups clung to their small group and the Word of God for stability, for support, for prayer. And it was absolutely amazing to see that. Again, going back to a little bit of our history here. In the past, when we first established the Women's Bible Study and small groups, it was based on a parachurch model. And that parachurch model was designed to meet from September to May. And at the end of May, each of those groups that had formed community and relationships and friendships were asked to disband. And when September rolled around, they would reform groups in with different leaders, with different members. And all throughout the summer, they would be encouraged to, on their own, pursue the Lord. But what we saw last year was that the devil doesn't take summers off. Life doesn't take summers off. We need one another. We realized not only our women, but we ourselves had to have the support. And so we decided that we would allow them to continue through the summer with a few different options. Some of them were old Bible study curriculums that were posted on the website. Another way was mentoring matters. And that really made the difference. That made the difference, didn't it?
Yeah, so true, Kathy. You know, we're designed to be in community. We're designed to do this together, just like you shared, you know, in your testimony. I think that we can all, probably all women, all believers can relate to that on some level. And I love that we are continuing on. We're encouraging our groups to continue on through the summer. And, you know, some of our women have always done that. But many of our women were left for these months at a time. They were kind of left to themselves. They were left without that weekly or sometimes daily encouragement from their groups. And we realize that we need that. We need that. Our women need that support. We need that support. And just like you said, just because we're in a different season, it doesn't mean that our trials or the things that we're going through are put on hold, you know? So we still need each other. There's not a season where we don't need each other. I mean, it may look differently from season to season, right? But there's always time and a need to develop those relationships and to grow, to know one another so that we get more comfortable with one another, more vulnerable with one another. We know how to pray for one another.
Yes. Yeah.
And all of that being centered and united on God's word and prayer and that fellowship, you know, talking about the things, what is God doing in your life and how is He working? And that spurs us on.
Absolutely.
We need that.
Tiffany, I'm 65 years old. I've been doing this for almost 45 years here, and I can attest to the fact you never outgrow this. Mm-hmm. You never outgrow it. There are young believers, old believers, and everyone in between. We need to do this.
Yeah, it's so true. And we've been talking a lot about how our church is growing, too, know?
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, as new believers and just new men and women walk into our doors on a daily basis, we want them to have a place where they can plug in and connect. And if we're on a break and they come in, where are they going to go, you know? So,
but at the same time, we also recognize the fact that as we wrap up our study in the book of Revelation, that our leaders and our women maybe need a breath. Mm-hmm. They need to take a Absolutely. Little moment to sort of take a little rest, take a little lighter schedule, give time for holidays, vacations. Kids are out of school. A lot of women who have children or are responsible for caring for children or grandchildren may find it difficult to do an intensive Bible study curriculum through the summer. And although we want to always have our fellowship and our community centered on God's Word and on the Lord Himself, there are different ways in which we're going to be able to do that. And for our leaders to be able to perhaps take a little bit less of a responsibility in having to prepare each week for an in-depth Bible discussion.
Absolutely. You know, a time to catch your breath is just a great way to put that. Our leaders have been so diligent and our women have been so diligent in committing to coming on a weekly basis. But I think about even for myself, I can kind of speak to this because I'm a mom of three little ones, three under the age of 10, a baby. And I work a full-time job too here at the church. And
it's more than a full-time job because she has to take my phone calls and texts all hours of the day.
I love it. But I also lead a group. I lead a group of young moms that attend my kids' school, and it's a sweet time. But I know that when summer comes, our kids are out of school, and we can't exactly, our husbands, a lot of them are at work every day, and it's not like we can just up and take our kids to the, you know, to a sitter every week. We want to spend that time with our kids. So I think you mentioned the scripture a little earlier, Kathy, Hebrews 10:25. You know, we're typically looking and hearing that verse, you know, to not forsake the assembly of the brethren. But I love the Message translation of that. It says, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Mm-hmm. And I love how that translation uses that word inventive, because we are really going to be encouraging our group members and our leaders to be inventive and creative in how they're going to meet throughout the summer, right?
Yeah,
I think there's a question that we've been thinking, and it's just a question for all of you that are listening. And the question is kind of this. This summer, how are you going to continue to support, pray for, love on, and encourage your group in the Lord and in His Word?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, there's so much you can do with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many options and routes that you can go just by keeping that connection. And what are you going to do?
There's less I will say the word intense, because studying the book of Revelation has not been as easy as different books of the Bible that we've done in the past. It's been a little more challenging for our leaders to lead through this book. We've had to study more and learn new things, actually. But there are less intense ways for us to explore, as we look at the summer season, a diversity of fun and exciting options that are going to allow people to find that circle of friends and allow the rest of us to have those ways in which we can stay connected while still respecting our need for a little bit of a breath, a little bit of a break, a little bit of a reprieve.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's some group members and some group leaders that they're thinking, they're listening to us today, and they're thinking, man, I want to continue leading through this group weekly. You love it. You can't imagine going without it, you know, weekly, that source of Bible study. And we encourage you in that. We want to encourage you in that. And we want to provide ways for you to do that, suggest ways for you to do that. But some of us are going to have to opt for some creative routine in these next few months.
Mm-hmm.
So before we launch into a little more formal study, which we're going to be doing in September, we want to encourage you to pray about what that new rhythm, that new routine, that new schedule looks like. Maybe on a practical level, it is meeting every week.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe your group decides that they want to meet every other week.
Right.
Or maybe you want to meet once a month.
Right.
And maybe you can fit it into something that you're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you all already going to the second service at church on Sundays? What about grabbing brunch after that? Or what about, hey, I'm already going to take my kids to the beach or a play date. Let's be a little bit more intentional.
Yeah.
Maybe you can ask someone in your group to do a little devotion, or you can have prayer time.
Yes.
Or I know, Kathy, one of the things that you've initiated on a few different groups that we're in are you know, prayer threads, like through text messaging and different means
of
communicating that way.
Life when it happens and, you know, you're not expecting someone that you love or yourself to have a cancer diagnosis or somebody who is going through a hugely difficult trial, you know, to be able to just in a moment reach out to somebody, a whole group of people who know you, love you, have already been with you, and just say, I need prayer. Oh, we saw this happen so recently on our couple different text threads. And the way the women, it wasn't just, oh, I'm going to pray for you. It was like, how can we help? And they jumped on and they contributed and they stood with the person who was going through this season. And it was I tell you, the person was so blessed who was on the receiving end, but those of us that were on the giving end, it bonded us, it united us, it showed us we are the body of Christ. We don't just say, hey, friend, see you in September. I'm going to take a pass, or, you know, this isn't our normal Bible study day, so let's hold off on those prayer requests until we meet together. It was a very organic and life-giving way in which we stayed connected, and we know this is true even for the groups that meet on Zoom. Boy, some of those Zoom groups have the most amazing community that they have developed, and it's super easy and convenient because it's only a one-hour discussion, and you can be wherever you are, on vacation, on the beach, in your car, and still be fed and filled up and pour into one another.
I love how we have broadened and deepened, as you've talked about, the ministry towards women in our church, and really to men as well. We have Harvest Men's groups. Ladies, if your husbands aren't in a group, you can get them plugged in a group. Encourage them to do that as well. But, you know, we kind of tried to put together on a very practical level some ideas, some thoughts of things that we might encourage groups to do through the summer. So as you're listening, maybe if one of these things, you know, ministers to you or stands out to you, you can talk to your group about what they want to do, you know.
I think that's the beauty of this is that I think as a group, rather than a leader impose her thoughts, oh, we're going to meet weekly, or, hey, we're not going to meet at all, rather than the leader saying that, why doesn't the group together decide what works for them? And maybe not everybody can do it the way, but if a majority of them make a decision, then I think we as leaders and we as group members respect one another in that way and give the Lord room to develop new leaders. Maybe the leader can't take the responsibility of doing it, but maybe there's somebody in their group that they have seen as faithful and loves the Lord and could go through a book together, or they could do a Sunday sermon discussion, something along those lines that is a little less weighty in, oh boy, I don't know if I am up to that. Listen, nobody is ever up to the call of leadership, but by the grace of God, and I can attest to that every day of my life and everything I've ever been called to lead in. It's just one step at a time. Just step out. Who knows? God may use you as a person who can be the catalyst within that group to keep that community going.
And I love part of broadening and deepening based off of something that you just said, Kathy, of kind of deputizing in a way someone in your group, because we know that some leaders, you know, they aren't going to be able to lead their group in the way that
way we've done through.
Right. But what you're saying and what you're kind of giving our leaders and our group members is find someone in your group that you have seen that is faithful and diligent and willing, and maybe say, hey, I'm not going to be able to be here for this amount of time, but what about you taking this group? Or what if you have a group and, you know, we're offering this curriculum during the summer. I say curriculum, but really it's a workbook written by a godly woman in our church. And it's helpful and practical insights on how to be a godly mom, how to be a godly wife, how to be a godly woman. We even have a new workbook of how to be a godly grandma. So let's say your group, you have a group of grandmas and a group of young moms, and they want to each do, it's okay to kind of split up into these you know, we're calling kind of micro groups and say, we're still going to connect and maybe we can each kind of split up and do this if your group has a very diverse demographic in your group. So Mentoring Matters is a great study. The study ranges from about 6 to 8 weeks, and that's something that, you know, the leadership can help you get your hands on that curriculum, which is great. Kathy mentioned the Sunday sermon discussions, which that's also such a unique tool because it doesn't require homework prior to. basically what it requires is for you to have listened to the Sunday sermon, which we hope you're already doing.
Yes.
And then you're looking at that sermon and Pastor Greg's message, and you're talking, you're going a little deeper into that and how it's ministered to you and how what you learned and what you applied from what the message was on Sunday. And that's accessible to every group as well. We have Pastor Greg has written a book called Jesus Revolution, and it comes with discussion questions. And some of those topics are very practical. Who is the Spirit? How do we pray? Mm-hmm. What is the Bible? Who goes to heaven? Mm-hmm. And those are just questions that you might think you know the answer to. Mm-hmm. But wow, to dig deeper into those basic foundations of our faith, that would be a rich time.
It'd be a good one to do as a lead in to the book of Acts.
In the
fall, because, you know, what really we saw in the Jesus Revolution, the last revival back in the early 70s, was really a return to biblical principles of fellowship.
Another thing, so many options, you know, we don't want to overwhelm you with options, but we do want to provide you with something that works well for your group. And something else that I have sensed in my group, and I know so many of us have, is when we serve together, it unites us. And those are things that we may already be doing individually, but I will tell you, we were talking about this yesterday, that there is no lack of places to serve in the church as an individual or as a group.
And I think that would be so fun as a group to say, hey, let's take on Sunday greeting. We all go to second service or first service, and, you know, those of us that do, let's all meet and let's contact, you know, the church and say, hey, we'd like to be a part of the team that greets and welcomes people as the hospitality of this church. We want the first face that they see when they step on campus to be a friendly one, and we should know all about that within our virtue groups.
Women
right?
are good at that.
They are.
For sure, and I think a couple really practical ways to serve is we have our Summer More conference coming up in July,
right around the corner,
which is going to be big and amazing, and we need you to serve.
Yes.
So reach out and see how you can do that. Maybe you can serve as a group. That would be awesome.
Absolutely.
Our men's and couples of ministries have events coming up that we can serve at, and there are just so many places.
Not to mention VBS.
VBS.
I know Mr. Mike would
Vacation
appreciate
Bible School.
Any help that he could get in that way, and there are deep connections that develop when you stand side by side, arm in arm, and maybe one person can make a little bit of difference, but a whole group of you could make a tremendous amount of difference. And that is part of what we have as a vision for our groups, is that not only is it a place where we receive, but it's also a place where we serve. Mm-hmm. And that's going to develop us as disciples, because that's what the scriptures teach.
Yeah. So true. Kathy, I remember a couple years ago, you standing in the foyer of church and asking a couple of us young moms, what's it going to take for you to be a part of a group and to be committed to Bible study? Mm-hmm. And the answers that the girls gave at that point, it was like we were willing to just try to meet those needs. And I guess that's kind of what we're asking now, too, is what does it look like to make it possible for you as a group member or a group leader to continue on this ministry of connecting and loving on your group members throughout the year, throughout this summer, you know? What does that look like? What's it going to take? And now you have the freedom and the resources to make that decision based on what works best for you
and
your group members.
That's right.
Which is beautiful.
You know, the heart, Tiffany, and I want to speak to the heart of Jesus, ladies. This is the heart of God. We want to continue to broaden and deepen our ability to disciple women, not just from September to May, but throughout the year, throughout their lives, through every season that they're in, and not to limit the Lord's working. That's the heart that has always been there. It's why we adjust and adapt to what we see the need is within our church. Years ago, we would not allow you to stay in the same group. We would say, nope, at the end of the year, you disband, and we're going to reform you and place you where we think you belong. But we responded to the fact that these are relationships that are building within our congregation, within our church, that we want to respect and honor. Mm-hmm. And so we changed. This is another opportunity to broaden and to deepen that. I want all you ladies that are listening to catch the vision and to get excited about how we can continue on in that scripture in Hebrews, it says how imaginative and creative that we can be to support and love each other. Here's a few shocking and wonderful statistics. In the last 4 weeks at Harvest, we had 20,000 people come to our campuses. That's not online. That's in person. 613 brand new people came to the Connect table to say, I'm new to Harvest. 600 of them. Over 6,900 people have attended a Harvest group, but we need room for 600 more. And 648 brand new people signed up for a group. Are we going to say, we're sorry, we only have 4 more weeks to go? I'm praying the answer will be for your group. No, the water's fine. There's always room for one more. Come on, jump on in. We have a growing church and we want to disciple people. This is the vision that Jesus gave all of us. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples of all nations. Ladies, as you listen to this, I am asking the Holy Spirit to stir your heart as to how you can make this happen. We're not going to tell you the way in which you should stay connected or how you should do this or how where the location is that you should do this. It could be a park. It could be a restaurant. It could be a hike in the hills. It could be a picnic at the beach. It could be with your kids or without your kids or a trip to the museum. If you have a skill, somebody in your group wants to share a recipe or plan a progressive meal or, hey, I'm crafty. I'd love to teach you all how to do something. Make it Christ-centered. Keep the connection. Start with prayer, end with prayer, but stay together as best you can and encourage one another all the more so as we see the day of the Lord approaching. Who knows how much time we have left to disciple? What if the Lord came this summer? What are we going to say to him? Oh, Jesus, we're so sorry we missed the opportunity to disciple somebody else or to be discipled ourselves because we thought we needed to take a pass. Let's pray about this and not forsake the community that God has formed this past year. Tiffany, would you like to pray? Close us out.
Absolutely. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much that you have designed for us to do this walk with you, our relationship with you together, and you've provided the body of Christ for us to do that alongside. And Lord, I pray for these group members and leaders that are listening today that you would minister to their hearts, that you would stir in their hearts creatively and even as your word says, inventively, that we can encourage one another and love one another and help one another as your spirit leads each one of us. So I pray that you would give direction. I pray that you would go before us. And Lord, I thank you so much for the leaders that you have provided for us here in this Harvest house. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for each woman that has decided to be a group member and committed to digging into your word and being changed by it on a weekly basis. And as we look forward, Lord, we pray that you would lead us, guide us, go before us, Lord. We lay all of this out before you and ask you to have your way. Yes. So we ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.